Episode of Bobcast. With you as always is Bob, live in the lounge, staring at the Ouija board. You know, I grew up in the town of Conshohocken, okay? And when I was a little boy, Fat Street was like going down Sunset Boulevard, okay? I could feel the weight of the world just coming at me, you know? We had skateboarders at 7-Eleven. We had EY Toads putting out the $6 drafts. We had it all in Conshohocken, so much so that I used to think of stories in my head, like vigilante battles on the top of Lenny's Italian Deli. You know, some of that old school flair, the town Conshohocken. And you know how to spell it too, because you practice it so much as a kid. That double ho ho, hocken. Something about Conshy, it just always brings me back. I moved away, I traveled very much, so I told people where I was from, and they were like, what? And I just shortened it to Conshy. And one of the things about getting to Conshy, especially if you're coming from the city, is 76 West. It's your salvation when it's late at night. Just get me to 76 West. And somewhere along that way, you start to curve and you start to move about and feel things, and you become more than the curve. Coincidentally, a few years ago, I start seeing this local website blow up. I was like, oh my God, look at this. It says more than the curve. They get it. It's the curve. They understand Conshohocken. They put things together for information, and in today's digital age, I mean, come on, there's no better place to get your news. So I was like, you know, we got to get him on the show. So tonight we've got the owner, the creator, the writer. I do enjoy your writing, Mr. Kevin Tierney, here on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that introduction. I really didn't plan it out, but we went places. We really went places there. There's something about Conshohocken, man, that just puts out that, like, it's a timeless feel. Even though you and I right now are located at my grandma's house in the heart of Conshohocken using podcasting gear from the year 2019, this place somehow, with all of its locals, always feels steady, like the place loves you back. Why do you think that is?
It's a good mix of the old and the new. Like, even though there's a lot of new stuff, all the tall buildings, and those are all kind of isolated along the riverfront for the most part. And the neighborhoods are still, for the most part, the neighborhoods. And you can just tell that people have been here generation after generation, and they love it.
And they really do. They're excited about the changes here happening just a few blocks away. So much so that on Facebook, the Conshy Crane has its own profile.
It's not me. Everybody thinks it's me.
That's a great way to start the show off. You are the Banksy of Conshohocken.
Yeah, I wish I had thought of that. My second cousin actually built that crane.
Really?
He grew up in Conshohocken on Harry Street.
He built that crane?
Yeah, he owns a steel company.
So that's interesting for the listeners out there. So the guy in the crane is operating a crane that's Conshy made and built.
Well, he built it. He owns the company.
Owns the company.
Someone was telling me, not
him.
That'd
be impossible in today's world. Sorry, to build a crane in America.
That the people who work the crane only can do it for 4 hours at a time.
Yeah, I read that. And you know what? That is such great. My mom told me that. Did you write that on your webpage?
I didn't write that. Maybe Butch wrote it on his.
Yeah, Butch. Butch came through at the top of the world collecting cans. And you guys had something tonight for that? The Green Council, right? Conshy Green Council?
I didn't. Well, we did that for Restaurant Week. We benefited.
Check him out
Council.
On Facebook, Instagram, though. But regardless, though, I mean, that crane, man, my mom was so happy to tell me. She's like, he can only operate it for 4 hours. And at that time, he receives $400 per hour. Is that true? He gets paid $400 to $500 per hour?
I heard it was a lot. I didn't hear an amount. Or I don't remember the amount.
You don't ever hear an amount no more. Everybody's always like, I'd rather not say. We're going to say here in the podcast. I heard it's $500 an hour, and I think that's awesome.
But I thought there was an elevator at first. And today, I was looking at today from the parking deck, and there's not an elevator.
Yeah, there's not.
You have to climb all the way up.
I can't imagine doing that job. I can't imagine that responsibility of focusing that much with something so heavy that could kill people. It's just terrifying, but it is exciting at the same time. The Kunchuk is transforming its landscape. My grandma would be very happy. May she rest in peace. Grandma Marg used to work at the Riant, which was in the old-fashioned movie theater that they had back in the day, which, you know, now would never happen. Like a, you know, Amber-type movie theater in Kunchi.
Yeah, it's a shame. The one thing I think Kunchuk did wrong in its redevelopment is it took out some of the key pieces that made it downtown. Mm. And they didn't do that in Ambler, so that's why Ambler has a theater and a playhouse. And when they cleared, like, I think it was like 44 acres back in the early 80s, they took out some of the great bones that Kunchuk had.
Yeah.
Even though they were going to be empty and boarded up.
Do you know when the Riant was knocked down?
No, but one of my...
If we had an assistant here, but he's out. He's not working this evening.
You can't find much about it online. I've looked.
Yeah, it's weird, right? There used to be a movie theater down there, and my dad said he used to check out the horror double features in 3D. And the late Parker store, I mean, it just closed recently, and now it's going to be a new cafe, I hear, right?
Yeah, it's a Nudies.
A Nudies. It should have been a nightclub. It should have been, like... B.O.B.'s Disco House is really what it should have been.
I think one thing that a nightlife at Kunchuk lacks is a nightclub mm-hmm. type place.
Do you remember when Spamps ruled the block down there?
Yes, we used to go to the Boathouse a lot.
Yeah, I'm saying.
And then around 11, 12, we would go over to Spamps.
And the place would be packed.
Packed.
Now, look, Lucky Dog, love it. But, you know, you did something wrong with the new construction of that building, in my opinion. You took out that great high ceiling. That used to be the garage of Donald Moore's funeral home. So essentially, yes. Everybody was partying with a bunch of dead ghosts all around them. You know what I mean?
They parked the hearse where the bar is.
Yeah, yeah. And I missed my wife and I. She was just my girlfriend then, but we used to go there too as well. And like roll up there at 11 o'clock and the place would be so packed, you know, sometimes 20 deep to the bar. You'd never get a drink.
But even... going back even further, when I first lived in Kunchuk mm-hmm. back in 94, 95, there was Brownies, which was out on Ridge Pike. But even like something like...
Interesting enough, that is the first venue that I ever entered illegally as a 20-year-old. I used my friend who looked just like me with long hairs ID, his expired one, and they didn't even check. I got in. But that place was wonderful, man. Vanilla Ice played there.
Wow.
Yeah, and I remember like my bus used to drive by Brownies on the way to school, and I would see all the acts coming, you know, and see the saxophone back there. But yeah, there's just nothing right now. I mean, John Brothers, I don't know how much money they're cranking out down there to the auto mechanics, but yo, you could gut that place and turn it into the greatest nightclub in the whole planet, dude, you know? So many different rooms, you could do so many different things, but the liquor license, it's not going to happen, I don't think, down here.
You'd have to bring one in at this point, or someone has to go out of business because it'd be hard to get a new one into town.
Yeah. And then there's the whole debacle. I mean, the century, I mean, I guess not century, but the long debate always when it comes to country is the Wawa and the EF Moore place, right? So let me tell you guys, I never cared what was coming. You know, I didn't care, man. You know, I just always wondered why there was still cars in there. I'd drive by and I'd be like, what's he got this in there for, huh?
There's always the one convertible.
My dad used to be like, it's to show off that, you know, he still could be open for business if he wanted. I was like, oh man, dad, you're crazed. But yeah, I mean, that's still sitting there and lots of people have different ideas. I mean, what about like a Trader Joe's or something? There's no grocery store in Kunchi.
Well, I've never confirmed this, but people tell me, people who would know, that there was a call to Trader Joe's from someone in the borough probably 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to get him to go inside where now is the borough hall, the old Verizon building. Mm-hmm. And they said it was too close to the Ardmore store.
Oh, wow. That's not really that. I mean, like you could, yeah, I guess I see it. But you could argue Ardmore and King of Prussia are pretty much close together, but something should go there. I think it would be great to put a movie theater there, like an old-fashioned one, but they would never, you know what I mean? Nobody would see the value in that, I don't think.
No, that's why you have to have the stuff kind of left over from the previous generation to the playhouse, renew it.
That is interesting. I never thought of it from that perspective, that Ambler still maintained their historic value. Like, soon, I guess the most historic places are right down here, First and Second Ave, and I don't know if it'll change that much, but
there was like old hotels and the bank building and things. I know I was never around.
What was the name of the hotel down here?
I forget.
Dude, do you remember Noah's down by the river?
I broke up with a girl at Noah's.
Tell me about that. That's interesting. That's what I want to know about. So wait, you're at Noah's. By the way, if you don't know what Noah's is, it was the best place to go. And I knew it was probably going to go under even at a young age because it looked like they put so much money into the detail, like around the restaurant.
Yeah, it was like really going on an arc. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in North Carolina and I went to St. Joe's for college. And I remember coming into town and seeing that light.
Yeah,
it was really high in the sky.
Oh my God, I completely forgot about the light.
And I'm like, one day I'm going to find out. Like, and I had no idea this was even Conchoc. And I was just driving down 76 to get to St. Joe's. And I saw that light. And I'm like, one day I'm going to find out where that light goes.
That's so, I haven't thought of that light in so long. I've always just thought of like the gangplank going over type thing. And then there was these animals in the wall. Like they were almost like sculptures, right? Coming out of the town. And I remember there was a boat as well.
It was a barge.
And they were trying to make it into a casino or something too, right? I remember that.
I looked up trying to find information about it.
Yeah.
And you don't find much. You find about some info when it was called Rio because they were busing in college kids and that was causing a lot of problems.
I remember that. Yeah.
And there was a parking issue too. There was a dispute over a parking lot or something. But what's one funny thing is the grove of trees that's down where the beer garden is, that's the only grove of trees in that whole kind of strip.
That's true, yeah.
And the reason those trees are there were just blocked the views from the building of Noah's in Rio.
Oh, wow. So they could
they left the trees in.
That's amazing. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, I missed that place. I mean, that place was exciting. But every time I went there with my mom or dad, I remember it was just empty. Nobody was in there.
I guess there was no one there, and I was there the one time.
Yeah, I guess they didn't have the internet back then, so they didn't have the power of advertisement.
Well, you really had to want to get there.
You just had to see what it was. Yeah. If you saw from the curve, it is a hell of a curve. I was actually coming back from the Wells Fargo Center on Monday, and I was thinking about this podcast tonight, and I hit the curve. It's a long curve when you're going 65, 75 miles per hour. I wonder, like, okay, so I've probably said this 1,000 times here on the show and 200 some odd episodes, but why didn't they think, hey, man, let's get rid of this extra rock and make this 4 lanes, you know what I mean? Or add them? Like, we would never think the traffic now. Like, I work in West Country, and I see the line from Conshohocken to, 76 east to Philly, and it just looks miserable, man. Do you work in the city?
No, I work wherever I am.
Yeah, that's what's up. See, that's the best way to do it, really, is mobile. But for the people who are in their mobiles, I can't imagine their plight getting to work.
And it's funny because I write about traffic all the time, but I rarely come into Conshohocken, during rush hour. And the times that I do, I always get to it and go, I don't know, I remember that.
Yeah, it's really bad. And like sometimes I feel like, traffic is getting worse, that people are just forgetting the rules of engagement, yielding like is just out the window. I see a lot of people, like buses now are pulling, across the road, so nobody can pass, and it infuriates some people. I saw this one woman who just couldn't understand what was going on once. I'm not going to name the name of the town, but I will say that she was very upset that she couldn't pass because she didn't understand that, kids are getting off the bus. I talk a lot about technology, and some of it's good, right? We're talking about the benefits of getting the word out about Conshohocken and stuff like that. But I think like two episodes ago, I deduced this, that my generation was the first. And see if you agree with this, because you're just a tad bit older than me. Your generation just back, and I'm the 90s, and 80s. Do you feel like, okay, so when you were born, you had the same experience as your mom and dad, and you also had the same experience as a teenager as your mom and dad. And the beginning of your adult life, you still had the same experience. But then somewhere like in, you know, the first chapters of early adulthood, technology came. Do you ever feel, so for somebody who uses it, do you ever feel that it is the downfall of us, or like, do you feel any negative thoughts towards it?
With anything, it's definitely positive and negatives.
Yeah, it's true.
I remember the first time I ever got on the internet. Well, we actually weren't successful at it. We were in Conshohocken. We were living, mm-hmm. this is 94, 95. We were living in Plymouth Guards apartments, and we were trying to get on AOL for the very first time.
Oh my God. I remember. I remember its noises, and I remember everything.
And we had no idea how to do it, and we never got on. And then probably a year later at work is when I got the internet for the first time.
I remember when it first came out too, how exciting it was. I remember that, and I also remember the beginning of text messaging and how text messaging was like frowned upon, and like people were like, oh, you got a text. But now it's like the main form of communication. So what's next for us? Are we still going to be on the phones? I believe that there will be no phones.
That was one thing I was wrong about. I never thought, I read how Europeans were already texting way before Americans, and I thought Americans will always want to talk.
When did they start texting?
It was, I mean, this is going back, because I worked with somebody who, rather than Florida, who worked for AT&T on the technology side. Mm-hmm. He's always talk about texting and all this stuff. And I'm like, no one's ever going to do that. People want to talk to each other.
That's
and that
insane.
Was completely wrong.
Yeah. And it's like people, I do it. I ghost people and they call and I feel terrible for it. But it, unfortunately, it's just... Well, like what technology has done to us. So like, I guess when we don't have to hold something in our hands, that's when maybe we won't, you know, forget to call somebody, when it's not constantly in our hand. You know what I mean? Like, it's just too much. You know, like, where's your phone? You know where yours is? I don't know where mine is right now. You know, like,
but I think it makes the communication too easy.
Yeah, it really does. People forget how to have normal conversations like this, like a podcast or something like that. But it is strange, though. I know some people who only communicate through text, you know, and they don't call me back, you know. It still enrages me the same way, though, that it would in 95 or 96. Why isn't he calling me back? Why isn't she calling me back? It's a weird thing.
Well, I'd be curious how it, like, has changed, like, dating and stuff.
Oh my God, yeah. So like, I met my wife 20 years ago. The AOL was going on, you know. I was playing F-Zero on like I forget what game system it was, but you know what I mean. I never thought that people would be meeting now on something that was created by people, like a software that introduced love in a way. I think that is like those married couples, perhaps maybe their offsprings are the first of the AI.
I had a roommate in Florida, another roommate in Florida, who the original guy I mentioned who worked at AT&T, mm-hmm. he was dating a girl and she's like, I know you from somehow to me when I first met her. And I had never seen her before. And like 6 months later, she calls me and she's like, I know how I know you. She goes, I went out with your roommate once and he called me like 1,000 times. And the house phone then was in my name. So it was my name on her caller ID 1,000 times.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, all over South Florida, my number is appearing on every guy, every girl this guy meets phone.
Oh my God. The beginning stages. I look back at it, taking it for granted though, thinking it was just a fad. I never thought that it would stick in a way. I remember thinking like, I'll get on AOL some other time. I too had trouble getting on there. In the beginning, it would take you the better part of a day to communicate with somebody through AIM, or you know, what was it called? AIM?
Yeah, I don't think I ever had actually have. Yeah, I just used the AOL, the one that was like built into it.
Yeah, I read today that Yahoo Groups, which I used to play lots of pool and chess in, is coming to an end. It's official.
Wow.
I know. They ran it back in the day, though. It was the easiest way to, I found to like communicate with people was through those groups playing games and stuff. But now it's effortlessly. You could do it. I mean, can you imagine Instagram in 2003? Maybe like pop culture wouldn't be so confused. Maybe if, I don't know. Maybe it would be different. I don't know.
I don't get the point of Instagram. Like, it doesn't communicate anything to you.
For visual people, it's more of a dopamine release rather than Facebook, because I think of its unflattering colors, to be honest with you. I mean, it's why I prefer it. Facebook, when I look at it, I immediately feel bits of anger, rage, and frustration. The color's blue and white. I don't know what it does to me. I mean, like, staring at that is, I don't know. He's very particular with what he's done to us, I think, with Facebook, you know. Instagram is probably just his worst, but I don't know. To see stuff, but I get it with influencers. Like, why, like I get that they're making money, but I do not think that that is a healthy thing at all. Like, putting your whole life out there for people to see is just strange to me.
I don't get the influence. I mean, I understand it.
They get paid. That's the crazy thing. And it's just like that would, if you went back to 2000 when the Backstreet Boys were kicking it, you know, when they first came out and you thought pop culture was completely changed since Nevermind. And you said, hey, there's going to be this thing called Instagram and influencers where you get paid to tell people what to do or what to wear or what to think about or what to listen to. It's so bizarre.
But such a small... Like, you think about, like, something like how popular, like, Seinfeld was. Mm. Like, there was a huge percentage of the country that was watching it.
Oh, my God. It was such an event, too, when it aired.
And now, an Instagram model that has...
63 million followers or something. Yeah, crazy.
But not every... I mean, there's ones that are getting paid that have a lot less. I mean...
It's very odd. I mean...
I always like looking at the ones where people are trying to become Instagram influencers.
Yeah, they're the best. They're the best. There should be films that are focused on people like this.
But I really don't look at Instagram at all. I mean, I have Instagram, mm-hmm. but just for work, and I never really scroll through.
I like Facebook, but I feel like Facebook is just a false truth now, because my memories when I look back at them, like with the early program, what Facebook used to, its whole, do you remember how it was like, what are you doing? What did it say in the box? It said,
tell us what you're doing.
Or something. No, it was like, ask... It would phrase it, I don't know, like basically like the early like stuff I see of my memories 10 years ago of Facebook, it looks totally different than what I post now. So myself, I'm different, but it's also just strange how that's the main form of communication in a way. Hey, here's photos of my friend's baby. Hey, here's what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just odd when you really say it out loud. If you think about it from where we came from two people from very early generations that communicated with, hey, what's up? You want to hang out? Yeah.
What's funny because, like, you know, it started out when everyone first got it. And I guess even in someone who get it today for the first time, mm-hmm. you go find all these people who you're excited to see again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird.
And then six months later, you hate them all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very odd, man. It's very odd. And we communicate like with each other like that. It's just strange. I know what you mean. People, like, I had my reunion recently. And it was just a very, it was an eventful evening. Let's just leave it at that, you know. But
with it's technology, funny, if you had got in a physical fight with one of your friends.
Oh, my God. That'd be a great reunion.
In, like, high school, right? Mm-hmm. 2 days later, you're friends again.
Yeah, you really were, too, because it didn't get out there. I can't imagine. Like, you have kids as well, right?
And I have one on the way.
Oh, but you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that they have so much more shit to go up against than we did growing up because of the internet. So for me, I feel that because prior to doing all this, I was a private and public school like educator, and I did that for the better part of 14, 13 years maybe. And I saw it. I got a chance to see how that would go, you know? And it's just, it's frightening.
I think it's strange. Like, you know, I said, you get in a fight back in the day. Mm-hmm. And now you basically, if you got into a light verbal spat on Facebook, someone will unfriend you.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know? Or block you.
It's like
blocking is the new, like, I don't know. What is ghosting? I don't even know how to describe it back in the day, but it's strange.
See, I could have punched you, you know, mm-hmm. 20 years ago and you wouldn't have cared in 2 days. And now you're basically walking away. It's strange to me.
It's very strange. It's weird too. When I go to work in the morning, I see kids on bus stops just looking down, man, not looking up at all. And it will affect their backs without a doubt. Now that I get older, everything hurts, man. I'm trying out a sensory deprivation tank on Saturday.
Are you?
For the first time down in Roxborough. My friend Johnny McNally, I got to give him a little shout out. He's hooking me up with a float session because he moved away and he wanted me to experience it. I've researched its proponents and I'm totally excited. I hope when I come back next week on the show, I have good things to say. Oh, I hope it heals my knee pain of all.
What'd you do to your knee?
Just acting like an idiot for 20 years, playing on stages and keeping time. I really think keeping time just messed me up, man. Like my ankle cracks, it's not pretty. But I mean, I don't like taking opioids at all. I don't want to do pills. I mean, like I even fringe upon ibuprofen sometimes because it messes with my stomach, you know? So hopefully it works. But for those who don't know what a sensory deprivation tank is, it's a large pod with over 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt. You go into it, you float, you're in zero gravity, and you don't know who you are really, apparently, after 90 minutes in there. So we're going to attempt to do 90 minutes in this pod.
Do they like change the water and stuff between?
I hope so. I mean, for how much the session cost, I would imagine so. And from the photographs I saw on the internet, it seems like it's like a boutique spa video. I can't imagine getting into 6 months worth of mummy salt.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what Country Haga needs. Country needs another, or needs their very first sensory deprivation tank. So yeah, Country, it's got it going on. I attended the Fun Fest and I was really impressed with this year's, I like the double vendors, you know, so you can go down two sections. I thought that was great. I thought the stage was wonderful set up there.
It's an expensive stage.
I can imagine so. I saw that board. I was like, whoa, that's, I think it was called an Alesius or something like that. And I've worked with something like that only once on radio. So, I mean, it was very impressive. When did you start doing that?
So I started More Than the Curve on August 3rd, 2009.
Wow.
And it was
is MySpace still rocking at this point?
I never had a MySpace account for it.
It started on just a website. It
was website and then shortly after Facebook.
Wow. So like what was the spark that lit the, you know, the fuse?
Well, I didn't start it to like create a business. I just kind of saw the need and said, I'm going to be the one who starts it and see what happens. And I was working a job and I quit it. And then I was like, oh, I have some time now. I'll start that website. And I actually had the name like for 2 years before and I let it
okay
lapse.
Yeah, but I want to, can you reveal that here on the Bobcast? Where did you come, like were you driving on the curve?
I think I was sitting on a train actually.
Nice.
I used to work in Berwyn.
Okay, cool.
And I was sitting on the R5 I think, and I said, I'm gonna start a website called More. I had the idea. And then I said More Than the Curve. Because everybody, all you ever hear, you used to say on the site every morning, everybody in the region hears traffic's backed up from Belmont to the Conshohocken Curve. And yeah, Conshohocken is More Than the Curve. I was kind of like the original kind of like sales pitch for it.
It is crazy how it backs up right there. It's all because people don't know how to drive no more, I think. So, I mean, it starts its humble beginnings. And then were you always interested in the aspect of news journalism?
No, I really looked at it as more, because I was always in the event business.
Okay.
And I would see like other things that had started that weren't necessarily news organizations, but they were like Philly Tonight and upcoming events and those type of things. And I was like, well, I could do that on a smaller scale here. And I really didn't start the site as a news site. And at first it was just restaurant stuff and what's going on.
Yeah, I remember the beginning. I remember seeing it.
Then like the Wawa thing and
that's where it began.
Yeah,
you're writing gaunt people talking.
It's at first I was like, why would anybody be against the Wawa? Right?
Yeah. Okay, so wait, before we continue, what's your favorite thing at Wawa? I'm hoping to get a Wawa sponsor out of this.
I really don't. Well, they won't. If I'm on here, they won't. they don't like the goose pictures I use.
But they don't?
No. I like, you know, going back to what we were talking about acid reflux earlier. Mm-hmm. when I worked at Beer Garden, sometimes I'm going home later at night, 11:30, and I'll stop at the one on Ridge. Mm-hmm. And they have like some flatbread, not flatbread, like...
Oh, the panini.
It's like a panini type thing, but it's like cherry to pepper or something. And I like it, but it definitely hits my stomach.
It gets you in the worst way. So you like the spicy stuff. Do you watch Hot Ones on YouTube?
I've watched it. I don't watch it on a regular basis.
I just introduced it to my wife. She loves it. If you like chicken wings and hot sauce, check it out. But yeah, with Wawa, I got to go with the tuna fish. It all depends on the place, though, because you can go the span of 3 to 4 miles and your sandwich is going to be completely different at the various different Wawas in this area. But yeah, I guess I could see why they didn't want something there. But that's interesting. That's where you shut out the cannon with the Wawa.
Yeah, definitely. That was so the first kind of like public debut of that plan was on October 20th, 2010. At the Fellowship House. And Wawa kind of had like a... It was not an official meeting in any capacity. It was just Wawa saying... They rent the room and said...
What's Wawa look like? Like, what's Wawa wearing? Because I used to work for Panera, and Panera used to look like they were coming out of like the Daily Planet or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, they all wear checkers tucked in with khakis. Did Wawa have an appearance that was general towards one another?
I don't remember.
You think they would, man. You know? They run this whole...
I think it was a couple like PR people and a real estate person.
Wow.
And then they had definitely already gone to some community groups to get them on board. The Bears and the Soapbox Derby, I think.
Very powerful organizations here in Conshohocken. Which is a great segue into today's news that I saw on 6ABC, WPVI. The fact that a Country Bears coach, I believe... was fired or fined. I'm not really sure. We could bring up the news story either, or it's because I believe he let his team score over 30 points. And I was unaware of this, that there's a mercy rule.
Correct. And it's not the Bears mercy rule. It's the league's.
The league's. Yes.
And as far as I know, he hasn't been fined or suspended yet, but there's a meeting soon where they basically have to go and before whatever the league. And the funny thing is, he tried to stop the guy from scoring a touchdown. You can see him running down the field next to the player.
But he still got in trouble?
We got in trouble because they scored too many points. But it was a five-year-old. A five-year-old broke a tackle in the back of the, you know, behind the line of scrimmage and takes off down the sideline. Who wouldn't if you're a 5 years old?
You're 5 years old. You don't care. So here's the thing, right? I was thinking about this today because I get this, you know, new woke culture of being like everybody's a winner and this, that, or whatever. But guess what? No, it's not that case, okay? I saw The Karate Kid and, what is it, 86, 85, assistant was on break. And I was like, I want to take karate. So I told my mom, take me over to where the Golden Dragon is right there. Right next door used to be Kim's Karate. I started taking karate classes and I thought it was Ralph fucking Macchio, man. I was ready to go. And I got into a tournament and I thought it was hot shit, you know, because I was winning matches. And then I got knocked out by this like big teenage dude who in my mind looked a lot like Ivan Drago, but probably looked nothing like that. But in my memory bank, he looked like Rocky IV's Ivan. And I remember this moment more than any other moment in my childhood is when I was down, like knocked out, you know, and not to quote Batman, but I mean, you know, you fall because you got to get back up. You know what I mean? I remember this moment being so definable in my life, you know, and I wonder if kids can't learn to fail, how will they ever succeed? What do you think about that?
No, I mean, I remember we lost every game when I was a little kid.
You had fun though, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I always when I was a kid, I would always kind of like, you go into something new, you knew what friends of yours were better at something than you, and where you were better than them, and you know, who was...
You knew. Yeah, you knew who the athlete was.
Correct, and it was no shame to lose to that person, because you were expected to lose to that person.
Yeah.
But you knew if it was a math test, you'd do better than that person.
Do you remember Ronald Reagan's... presidential fitness tests that began in the 80s.
I remember trying to do pull-ups and not being able to.
I also remember not being able to do pull-ups, and I remember the humiliation I felt from my other friends, whom all probably thought I was the baddest, you know, dude on the block because of the way I held myself together. But then you get up there and, you know, I get that we can't hurt kids' feelings. You know, I get that from being a former educator, but you can't teach to somebody who knows everything. You know what I mean? You have to show kids the way, you know, because life isn't about mercy points or whatever. It's not about that, because you will get left behind. You know, being 5 years old playing football, that's a whole nother story, right? I'm not gonna wait till my son maybe is like seven or so. I think five is like he's playing soccer now. It's a lot easier, you know what I mean? Just kick the ball. It don't even matter which way you're going at this point.
Just chase the ball the whole time.
Just chase this ball, dude, you know? And I'm also so scared, Kevin, about this whole, like, becoming a parent in woke culture is something that I never thought was going to happen, man. I never thought that I'd be amongst people who don't know how. Like, I saw this kid at Merrymead Farm last weekend. His mom failed in getting him off the trolley. He fell, hit his head. He had to be 5 years old, maybe even six. I don't know. But her remedy was to give him a Binky. And I was just like, oh my God. And this is the stuff I never would have noticed 3.5 years ago when I wasn't a parent. But this is the new world of, you know, cradling, I think. It's just strange. That marked with technology, by the way, I guarantee is going to be the pitfall of our civilization, because these kids with the mercy points, they'll get to a certain point where they get online and then they'll learn other things, and it'll just be a mess in their minds.
Well, I think the rule they have, I mean, from what I understand about it, is you're not allowed to go over a certain number of points where they play
50
the game.
50 points, right?
31.
Okay.
And you're not allowed to go, but they still play the game.
Yeah.
Like, they don't stop the game.
But when you're five, do you really know the score? I mean,
they didn't announce the score when my kid played soccer. But I mean, he always kept the answer is, did we win or lose?
But at Country Bears, they got the scoreboard up there nice and pretty.
So when it gets to 30 and you put your second string in, third string in,
that's all we got to do. But turn the scoreboard off.
But those kids who've been waiting to play all game and maybe not played the last game, you're telling them not to play.
Yeah, that's not. I don't know how especially me, as a six-year-old, five-year-old boy, I don't know how I would develop if I didn't get knocked down in that karate class. You know what I mean? Like, he knocked the shit out of me. I think it was my first concussion, really, you know? Like, and I never forget it, you know? And, like, I'm not saying that you should have your kid get knocked down or something, but you know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't be allowed to let them fail. And that's something I'm trying to learn as a parent, you know what I mean? Just, like, allow him to make mistakes so that way he can do better. And one thing I'm proud to announce here on the show, in the last week, we have stopped watching television. We aren't watching television in my house, and guess what happened? My son became the most beloved person on the planet, dude. Mommy, daddy, you need anything? Hey, dad, you want me to put the cold wash on? You want me to put it in the dryer? He's only 3.5, but he's doing all these chores because of no television.
I wish my kid would actually watch television.
Because he watches his
YouTube videos.
Oh, okay, that
changed. Just awful.
Like, what's he watching YouTube? There's so many different.
He's like these families playing games.
I know, it's crazy, right? So we do live in this culture now too, where you can get paid to play video games. Fortnite, the biggest thing that I guess parents are dealing with kids who are in early adolescence is that they can't get off it. Apparently, so I heard this week that, I mean, I've gone on it twice. I have PlayStation 4. I've seen what it is. It's it seems like it's great, but it's no GoldenEye. I don't know if you played GoldenEye for N64 back in the day.
No.
It's the best. But I get it. They destroyed the game, and then they rebirthed it or something with a 2.0 version, which I thought was kind of cool. But, you know, if I was a parent dealing with Fortnite and they just went and did that, I'd be super pissed off, man. You know? Like, yeah, you just took my kid and threw him, you know? He's gone now.
My kid hasn't asked to play Fortnite yet.
How old's your kid?
He's going to be 8 in December. He's played all the Mario games.
Mario games are wholesome, though. I don't know what it is about Mario, but come on.
And Hello Neighbor.
Yeah.
And Minecraft.
Minecraft, I get. I was teaching I think I was doing fourth grade at the Plymouth Meeting Friends School when Minecraft was really big, so much so that people were addicted to it, similar to, I guess, Fortnite. But I liked the aspect that you could build with it. You know, I thought kids were being entrepreneurs. So I was like, oh, this is cool. I mean, yeah, so what, the graphics aren't great, but it's easy to get sucked into video games. But
whatever name, one thing I do like about it, him playing games, is there's some game he plays where there's a bear and you have to get these honey points or something. Mm-hmm. And it makes him read what the bear wants.
Mm.
So he is
reading,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, reading a little bit.
Reading like a narrative, yeah. It was hard for me to get introduced into books. I really didn't. I think I was like, I didn't properly read a book until I was like 16, 17 years old, really, because it just wasn't pushed upon my class, you know? Like, we had book reports and stuff, but I just fudged it from listening to people in class, you know?
I read the encyclopedias like before, like, eighth grade.
I think, I mean, if we're talking comic books, though, I can tell you that I did read from, you know, Incredible Hulk number, like, 141 all the way up to, like, 357. I have all of them still in my long stacks. So I did read, but just comic books. I don't know what your thoughts are.
I never read a comic book in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I read, like, newspapers every day, even, like, when I was a little kid. And
I do enjoy reading. I enjoy reading your website as, you know, as part of, like, a morning routine as well. You know how, like, you get to work and you're like, I'm not doing nothing yet for 35, 40 minutes. Control-T, Control-T, Control-T. Open up all the websites. Read some stuff, you know.
Get on the web at Oldies.
Yeah, right. Well, lucky for them, I am tech savvy. So, you know, I hooked back up Sage to three different PCs. And I got to tell you, PC people, I don't get it. Are you PC or Mac?
PC.
All right. For businesses, though, I mean, like, there's so many glitches to be had with, you know, all these different, I don't know, when you're dealing with money and stuff like that, I'd rather have it, like, completely secure, but that's just me. But with tech, though, I mean, it is amazing when it doesn't work for you. Like, how it could just completely shut down a business now. Like, they had an issue today, and I helped out with it. You can't do nothing. Computer goes down, you go down.
Yeah. It's funny when something like that happens, there's a big power outage or something like that. Like, people are looking for me for information.
Oh, I love that, though. Don't you enjoy that?
I do, but I have to find a place where I can get, you know,
credible information first,
and access to hopefully Wi-Fi. Not
you got generator?
I actually do, but I never actually use it in the situations. Is this the one?
I have a really bad feeling that we're going to get a lot of snow this winter.
Yeah,
with how unpredictable it's been. I mean, today, like the last 2 days, have been so windy. That's one thing that's definitely changed about country hockey, man. The weather, you know, but. If you ever need somebody to, you know, find out information, I'll walk through foots of, you know, I'll just keep going through all the many feet of snow on Fad Street.
What's funny is I used to live in Ambler when I started the Ambler site. And the last time I had a big flood in Conshohocken.
Mm-hmm.
And
when the water main broke over here?
No, like when the river flooded. It was like, it was a hurricane or something, and then it came up and just kind of sat here for a day. And it wasn't windy or anything. It's just a lot of water. And I was sitting in Ambler on my couch, and people were just sending me photo after photo after photo of every section of town.
That's cool.
And I was just like constantly just updating the site. It was like with picture after picture. And
that's important for people, because when you get snowed in here, man, it is cabin fever, man. It's one thing that, I mean, you deal with extremes of weather here. I remember 20 years ago, it would be fall for real. Like today's windy, cold. I don't know. I mean, last weekend was like summertime too, as well as wearing shorts. But that's interesting, though, that people like send stuff as like a hub from, because it's like they associate more than the curve with country now. You become almost synonymous with it in a way.
Yeah.
So like you also did the Conshohocken Beer Festival as well?
Yes.
So how many beers were there?
There were
like different companies.
The different companies are probably about 44.
That's crazy. So was that at the B field?
A field.
Which one's which? I can never tell.
A field has the wall around it.
By the way, I was at the very last country fireworks there. when it exploded. Like, so a firework went over into the cemetery and people used to chill out there and watch it for free. And I saw the explosion. Obviously, I didn't see through the over the wall the woman who got hurt, but that was a shame because I enjoyed going there. It had that really big time feel to it. I like Sutcliffe, you know, it's great. It's more like a festival type vibe, not like, I don't think you could do it today at the A-field though, right?
You couldn't do it with what it's become.
Yeah,
because what it's become. Now every town, I mean, people from all different towns come.
Yeah, they do.
We usually go park it from the fire company and sit on that hill.
I live in Plymouth Meeting right now, so I watch from the hill over country kind of, and my son's just not there yet to go down there. He'd get wiped quick. But yeah, it has become something massive here for country in the way that, you know, the Soapbox Derby too as well. I was in the Soapbox one time. I got the fourth place in 90. Never made it to first because the Donovans were always just killing it. They're still killing it, apparently. Yeah. They're a legacy around here, man, as far as country hawking goes. My dad was best friends with Bill Donovan. May he rest in peace. He used to work down at Shank Printing here in country hawking. My dad is old school country, man. My dad will tell you stories about the J&A Lounge down there. It used to be where now, I guess, Ted's place has now become El Limon. Mm-hmm. It's fun to hear those stories, man. Back in the day of country. I still feel that kind of vibe. I mean, on this block, though, for sure, with St. Matt's and all, you know, the restaurants.
Definitely.
What's your favorite spot around here? You still good for the wings?
I'm weird that I don't like to get messy when I eat.
My son's the same way. I personally don't like
it. So I like wings a lot. Yeah. But it's like I wouldn't like, usually when I'm eating in Conshohocken, I'm working. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to find a place where I can just sit, open my computer, and eat lunch.
Have you been down to the Poke Bowl?
I'm not sure I would eat. I'm not a sushi guy.
What about Hope's? What's it called? Insomnia Cookies.
So I got some of those the other day. Yeah,
I heard they're amazing. They come out hot. Mm-hmm. I'm never in the facility when I really want them. I usually want chocolate like late at night for some weird reason. It's the worst time to have chocolate.
And I was asking the person who works there, I said, when are you guys, like, when, how's it doing and when's it busy? They deliver to like 3 o'clock in the morning.
3 in the morning.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And people are doing it.
It's wild. I mean, people come from the bar and they're like, let's get some warm cookies. I mean, that's amazing, really. You know, that specific place, I used to work. My first job was at this place called Java Man, which was the coffee house right there near Rough House Records, and I used to see all the musicians coming down. It was like a dream come true. And then I got fired from the job because I let my friends come in and eat all the cake and gave them espresso. But
what space was that in?
So I believe it is where Insomnia Cookies now is, or no, it was
that was a bank trade for a
stone
long time.
Trade stone, I believe.
I think I remember it. Like, maybe was that like
95. Yeah. I remember listening to Korn. Of all albums, I was listening to Korn's second album, which is just totally inappropriate for a coffee house, one Sunday when Teenage Angst Bob didn't feel like working. So it had to be 96. But
I just read that Rough House guy's book.
Yeah, I tried to get him here on the show, but he said, I'll come on the show. It doesn't matter how many listeners, any time, any place. And then he ghosted me.
I sent him, I didn't realize I had sent him a message previously, but when I read his book, I only bought the book because I wanted to see if there's any Conchaka references. Yeah. And it was very brief in the near the end of the book where they talked about moving to that location.
Oh, so it's not the focus then per se of that actual studio.
It's all the stuff before.
Jeez.
How we got in the business.
I almost bought it.
And I have it if you want it.
I would love to see it.
Then he goes, then we decided we need kind of like to get out of the city, and we had families now, and we wanted a better commute, and they found this old building in Conshohocken. And what I was curious about was, like, I always wondered, like, did the Fugees record there? And they didn't. They actually recorded the album in New Jersey. I had to get that, clarify that with it.
I think they did hang there, though. Or no,
you who talked did about driving to New Jersey.
Cypress Hill recorded there. Sorry, I mixed up the bands.
And Bob Dylan's recorded there. Mm-hmm. And
Crisscross.
I think that was before.
I swear to you, at that time, I was not working at Java Man. I was working at Superfresh, which is now Weiss. And We saw the limo pull up, and we had heard through somebody that it was them. And I swear, hand to God, that I put my apron on backwards when they walked in. They just gave me the hardest look, like, fool.
That's the reason I read the book. I was trying to get like a kind of a timeline of that.
Yeah.
And
what happened to those dudes, by the way? How come they're not killing it right now and everything from the past is back in style? Where the hell's Criss Cross?
I want to say one of them is dead.
No.
Or maybe one of ABC's dead.
Wiggity wiggity whack. I can't. You know what? I have such a hard time looking shit up and talking on the podcast. I'm not going to go for it. It just doesn't make any sense to do it. But yeah, I remember that, and I just remember working down there. And also, too, at the time, the restaurants weren't really popping yet, man. There was a flower store next door. It was pretty old school looking.
The flower store was the Boathouse's dining room.
Yeah, which is crazy to think now with those fish tanks in there.
So I lived here right after college. We used to always go to the Boathouse and the Pub. And they were really the only two places except for Toads in that whole area.
I used to play poker at Toads on, I think it was Tuesday night or Wednesday night. I won the tournament a few times and I got a $100 gift card after I spent probably $100 in beer. Stupid.
But I want to say I only went to Toads once. But I remember I hit a hole-in-one on the Golden Tee in the back.
Nice. My God, when Golden Tee first came out, my friends and I were so obsessed with it. We would just get quarters upon quarters so we could play a whole 18. And not no back nine or, you know what I mean? I still play it sometimes. I was just down the shore and my son was playing games and I played around. That game's fabulous, dude.
Yeah, it's how funny how accurate. I used to get 59 though on Nintendo Golf.
Oh, wow.
I was really good at it. If I didn't like either birdie or get a hole in one on every hole, I would turn it off and start over.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Strive for perfection, you know? You said something that I was trying to think. You said something just a minute ago about country. There's so many different things about country, you know what I mean, that have come and gone, and the new things that are coming. I mean, like right now, our restaurant scene, that was pretty crazy. I mean, I've been to most of them. I haven't been to, I think it's called Imbibe or something.
That's gone.
No, it's
already.
Jasper's, right? It's gone?
Imbibe's gone, and now the people from Jasper's open a second location.
There's a West Country pizza place across the street. What's the name of that joint right there?
It's called Victorino's now.
Dude, I saw these guys at Victorino's trying to wedge what looked like an oven through the tiny door there. And I was in line in traffic to get like on the country bridge and go over, and I just wanted to stay and watch, man. It's, you know, it's amazing to watch people. And
he's a really nice guy, Victorino.
Is he got good pizza? I never had it.
Yeah.
I got to try it sometime. It used to be Billy Cunningham's court. My dad used to take me to back in the day thinking, we're going to see Billy Cunningham. I'm like, all right.
We used to always do happy hour there back 94, 95.
Do you remember like Alan Plymouth meeting like B. Rathbone?
No.
Do you remember the Hungry Pilgrim?
No, but I'll go through like eBay and I'll search Concha Hocken
Plymouth and that'll come up right in the images.
Like, a lot of time people collect matchbooks.
Oh wow.
And
the logos and stuff.
Yeah. And they'll have, that's how I'll learn. I mean, one of the things that was when I lived in Concha Hocken, so 94-95, and then I moved back and it was completely different. And you know,
it's weird, man.
In 2003 I moved back, and before I started the site, I had never been in Edward Freeman's. I had never been to the bakery. Even though I lived here for years, I was basically just going to work in Berwyn or wherever I worked, going out to the places I knew. I never really had explored the town.
Yeah,
and the site
so much
basically kind of like, I'm like, if I didn't do it, I always think if I didn't do something, no one did something. So if
that's
I didn't
a good
do
way
it,
to look at it, though. It's you didn't have no mercy points. You know, you knew that somebody had to stand up.
So I basically started going to all those places and
yeah.
And I
writing about it.
Yeah.
When like I knew the Wild West story happened and stuff like that, but like of all the stories that you've covered since 2009, which one would you, since it is now the season of Halloween, October, which one would you say is the most strangest, spookiest? Or off-putting.
There was a skeleton found back behind one of the office buildings in West Concha Hocken.
Whoa.
This is one of those weird things. Like, that kind of stuff happens, and then you'll never hear about it again. we found a skeleton today.
And that's it.
And then you try to find out about it. I mean, I guess if I really pushed it, I could find something out about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you just never hear about it again.
And they never identify. Yeah. Like, I guess, is there a detective? We don't know.
Well, there was someone murdered on this street, right?
Yeah.
Or was it fourth?
There's probably been murders probably all around.
No, but there was a...
There was one that I remember in the 90s where somebody really got injured.
There was a girl who's from Canada.
Yeah, that one.
Who was coming to take pornographic pictures. I think it was on East 3rd or 4th.
What year was that?
It was before More Than the Curve, but only by like a couple of years.
Wow. I remember that too, and just be like, oh, they're not here, you know? There's been a couple really crazy things, I mean, as well. I mean, the country also pops up too a lot on the map for, I mean, what was it? The summertime, I remember seeing like... country, like for like Ted Bundy, because he lived around here or something like
so,
that. Like
so we did a story on that because Netflix mm-hmm. came out with those, yeah.
The movie and then the docu series, yeah.
And it was just kind of a throwaway story. I thought, oh, somebody he lived in Lafayette Hills. Grandparents owned like a. You probably were there in Roxborough. I think they owned a big like nursery of plants.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And.
I forget the name.
He lived with his grandparents briefly in Lafayette Hill. I knew the address. I didn't want to put the address on there because like someone lives there today. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then he went to Temple briefly, I think. And he was, at that point, they thought he was just practicing. He would go to Atlantic City and like kind of stalk people, but not like.
Oh, wow.
But there are people who think he actually did kill people who are missing in that time, I think. But he definitely lived in Lafayette Hill briefly.
I did a story maybe like 60 episodes ago or so about the Catman. Are you familiar with that legend?
So I've heard it. Mm-hmm. It was the guy who he was from like Maniac or Roxborough. And
so there's so many different various stories. So I mean, like I did this interview with a woman who was like, you know, related and like all these different things. I'll send it to you if you want to take a listen to it. But even after I went down the rabbit hole, it really like when I first set out to do the legend of the Catman. Right. I was just going to be some sort of like spoof in my mind. I was going to do like some sort of like fictional narrative, like of me traveling there, you know, and like doing the legend. But then I decided to look into it. And then I found out it was a real murder case. Right.
Yeah. It was like the body was found like on Barren Hill.
I think. Right off there. Like actually, my dad in the podcast takes me to the site, you know, where it happened. And he's like, yeah, right down there. And, you know, I interview her. She has a book out on Amazon about like this whole like conspiracy, and then it was debunked. And like still to this day, I don't know who murdered this poor woman. But I was thinking about continuing, but after a while, I couldn't wait to be done with it. In a way, I mean, I did it at first. I set out to like, you know, kind of have fun Halloween style, but then it became more investigative, and I was just like, wow, this is interesting. And I know that's popular for podcasts, like the criminal stuff, but I can't imagine doing that full time, man. It's to be that dark, like God, dude, no.
There was a really big I think it was like in the 50s, there was a family that was like taken hostage in their house. There was a whole book about it. And we should delve into that one. I think I read an article about it and then I never really revisited it.
The inspiration I was going to do it, I never got around to. When I was a kid, my parents took me. It's not country, but you could see it. Actually, if you go outside this house right now at night, you can see still the mansion of Father Divine.
Yeah.
And if you check out Father Divine on Google right now, you'll be in for a good bedtime story before sleep, because this man was a very a credulous cult leader, I guess. This is what you would describe him as. You know, he seemed very gregarious. He had lots of people living with him. I remember going there and seeing like these women come down the stairs so elegantly in like these gowns, and thinking like, are we in as my dad says, Amish country? You know? And we weren't. We were just right over the bridge in country, you know? So yeah, maybe I will do that. I kind of put that off, but I love the rich history of Conshohocken and its surrounding areas, though, because there's so many stories. Just so many.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy to think that it'll keep going and going, you know? I mean, you just wrapped the beer festival. What other things you got coming up with the website and event planning?
Well, we just came up with a new event today. We do like a series of, we don't like calling them like bar crawls because, first of all, the bars don't like being last.
Why? Oh, yeah, I get it.
They get the whole, after math.
Yeah.
So okay. we do one called a beer bust, which is like craft beer driven. We did one called Taco Hocken.
I heard that was a success, right? Everybody loves tacos.
Taco Hocken went really well. We did one called Bermuda Triangle. And basically, when you buy a ticket, you pick where you want to start.
Mm-hmm.
So you and your 10 friends pick the boathouse. And other people are picking that too. And some people are picking the pub. Some people are picking Tierra Caliente. So the first hour, you're kind of at that location. So we guarantee all the bars like a certain amount of business. I'm trying to even it out. And then once that first hour is up, you can go wherever you want on your own pace.
Mm.
So not everyone's just pounding one place at one time.
Yeah, but that's like the best part, right? I haven't done one of those in years though, right? I mean, they
that's
used
how
to
old
do them.
You are.
Yeah. I just want to. I've never been into crowds per se. Like at a bar, it always gives me anxiety. I just like, get me out of here, dude. Like I can't.
So the one we came up with today was it's the Concha Hocken Christmas Spectacular.
Sounds spectacular.
On the rocks.
Okay, tell me about it.
Like on ice, you know, like yeah. On the rocks. We're not sure exactly what's going to be yet. We're still fleshing it out.
Okay, so you guys, I like how you come up with a title first and then you build around it. So I could tell you what I envision right away. We need to get an ice skating rink somewhere here in the middle of like Fifth Street or something, you know?
We did that one year. We did the fake ice up at B-Field.
What was it? Did people enjoy that?
I think the technology's improved.
Mm-hmm. So what was it like then? It was
basically a piece of plastic they spray all this stuff on.
Oh, man.
And it was cold one night. Next day was like 75. And the event was successful. It was very expensive to rent that rink. It was like $13,000.
My goodness.
And it wasn't that big.
Wow.
And you had to have a flat, very flat area. And so we used where the old tennis courts used to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What about a haunted house since it's October? There's, I guess, the closest one. Yeah, you know what would be better than a haunted house? Are you familiar with Meow Wolf?
No.
I'll send you the website this evening. You got to check it out. They need 30,000 square feet to make it happen here. If we did have it here, it would be the most interesting. It's like an interactive experience for like kids and adults in a way that's made by a collective of artists. And they have right now 3 different locations in the country. And the best way I could describe it really is like when you enter this attraction, you go through a washer door into a new world. And when I saw the video, I was like, what? What is that? You know?
Is this like the Happy Place?
Kind of, yeah. But the Happy Place, I got to be honest, I've seen the photos. It's no Meow Wolf. Check out Meow Wolf, folks.
I haven't really explored what the Happy Place is. I saw an article about it.
It's like an Instagram thing.
I really
to be
didn't
honest.
Read it.
Yeah, it's like, check me out in the foam pit full of fish or something, you know? Like, I get it. People like it.
With Concha is there's not a good indoor event space, like a big one.
I know.
That you can really, it's like kind of a black box.
Yeah. There's no great music place to do stuff either where it's like optimal for the artist and the, you know, the audience as well,
I would say there's zero.
There's nothing, yeah. And that's just, and the hardest thing to do. I mean, like that stage you guys built for the Fun Fest. I mean,
I wasn't involved in the Fun Fest.
Oh, you weren't? Okay. As far as all the different events, it's sometimes it's hard to keep up here. But I mean, as far as country goes, I mean, you know, I guess for me, I enjoy it so much that I'm able to have, I've had the mayor on here. I'm working with Butch, you know, and like, I know people have different political views, but look, it doesn't really matter when it comes to, you know, being good to each other here in the heart of Concha Hocken, right? It has nothing to do with this, that, or whatever, because we need to make sure our town sticks around for a long time, right? Concha. Flacos gets it. You ever buy something from Flacco's? I mean, I just bought the shirt at the Fun Fest. Buddy Ryan's, like, you know, like it says Dallas with the Target.
Yeah.
Soft t-shirt too, man. Okay? Let's talk about soft t-shirts, okay? They don't make them no more. They're all rock, paper, you know, like cardboard. Flacco's, man, have been dishing off for years. I got all my tuxedos there at the prom. And I still get all my Eagles apparel there. Flacco's. Check them out.
They're starting to allow us to buy my kids' school uniform there.
So yeah, they got it going on, man. They got the, you know,
so
everything.
Spent a good amount of money there recently, right before school started.
Also, too, I haven't been back to that Thai food restaurant in a long time. I used to go there with my wife back in the day, but they must be doing something right because they've stood the test of time.
That's been there for a long time.
Jimmy John's, I ain't gonna go nowhere. I remember Jimmy John's was
nail salon.
And that was before that it was USA Video, I believe, or something like that. Or I know it was a video store.
I remember the video store next to Scoops.
Yeah, I remember that too. But my friend Ryan was friends with the owner of that place. It took me years to find out that there was a Chinese food restaurant behind Scoops. I just couldn't see that sign, but their food's pretty good.
That's good for Chinese food, yeah.
Well, look, I wish you the best with your website. I wish you the best with all the events you got coming up. I look forward to it every morning, reading the website, seeing the new developments. And it only seems from this point going on that there's just going to be much more to talk about Kanchi.
And we actually were the other morning, after they announced the 7 towers, there'll be a second crane going up soon.
Wow.
Because there's going to be, if you're going over the bridge towards West Conshohocken, and if you looked, you couldn't see it because you're across traffic, but if you looked left down, there's already a footprint. They're going to build that building now. They started working today.
It's going to be, I remember when they blew up the old bridge. Now we got all this stuff going on, you know? Shout out to my grandfather. The reason why that building is still there, the firehouse, is because he registered back in the day historical property. His name was Samuel Januzelli. We happen to be in his house right now recording this podcast. So,
well, it's going to be a restaurant one day soon.
Yeah, and he would love that, by the way, because he was a cook in World War II. So, Pop, giving it up, okay, for Kanchi. The website's down below. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. If you live in Conshohocken, get more than the curve, okay? Kevin Tierney, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you for having us.
My name's Bob, and this has been another episode of Bobcast.